Nora's earlier irritation was washed away by a sudden rush of gratitude. Bree would always listen and respond, would not demand anything less than the truth of her experience.
You're right, Nora. Anything can happen any time. But what goes wrong is not your fault. You can't spend the rest of your life tiptoeing around to try and avert disaster. It won't work. You'll just end up missing the life you have.
Nora did not know how to answer this, so she reached for Paul, who was squirming in Bree's arms, hungry. His long hair, too long, but Nora couldn't bear to cut it, drifting slightly, as if underwater, whenever he moved. Bree poured more wine for them both and took an apple from the fruit bowl on the counter. Nora cut up chunks of cheese and bread and banana, scattering them across the tray of Paul's high chair. She sipped from her wine as she worked. Gradually, the world around her became clearer somehow, more vivid. She noticed Paul's hands, like small starfish, spreading carrots in his hair. The kitchen light cast shadows through the back porch railing onto the grass, patterns of darkness and light.
I bought David a camera for our anniversary, Nora said,
wishing she could capture these fleeting instants, hold them forever.
He's been working so hard since he took his new job. He needs a distraction. I can't believe he has to work tonight. You know what? Bree said. Why don't I take Paul anyway? I mean, who knows? David might get home early enough for dinner. So what if it's midnight? Why not? You could just skip dinner then, sweep away the plates, and make love on the dining room table. Bree.
Bree laughed.
Please, Nora. I'd love to take him. He needs a bath,
Nora said.
That's okay,
Bree said.
I promise not to let him drown in the tub.
Not funny,
Nora said.
Not funny at all.
But she agreed finally and packed Paul's things. His soft hair against her cheek, his large dark eyes watching her seriously as Bree walked out the door with him, and then he was gone. She watched from the window as Bree's taillights disappeared down the street, taking her son away. It was all she could do to keep herself from running after them. How was it possible to let a child grow up and go out into that dangerous and unpredictable world? She stood for several minutes, staring out into the darkness. Then she went into the kitchen, where she put foil over the roast and turned the oven off. It was 7 o'clock. Bree's bottle of wine was nearly empty. In the kitchen, so silent she could hear the clock ticking, Nora opened another bottle, expensive and French, which she had bought for dinner. The house was so quiet. Had she been alone even once since Paul was born? She did not think so. She had avoided such moments of solitude, moments of stillness, when thoughts of her lost daughter might come rising up unbidden. The memorial service held in the church courtyard beneath the harsh light of the new March sun had helped, but Nora sometimes still had the sense, inexplicably, of her daughter's presence, as if she might turn and see her on the stairs or standing outside on the lawn.